Alon, welcome to a special interview. The NAM conference is the focus of this interview. Iran, as the host of the 16th NAM summit, has called on the 120 non-aligned movement member states to use their full potential in playing a more important role in achieving world peace. The expert-level meeting of the non-aligned movement has just released its draft documents. Unilateral sanctions against other countries, threats against free trade, were just some of the topics discussed. Well, joining us to discuss this more is Secretary of the 16th NAM expert-level meeting and Deputy Iranian Foreign Minister for International Affairs, Mohammad Mehdi Akhundzadeh. Well, welcome to this interview,
thank
and
you.
We thank you for taking the time. I'm sure you've had a very busy schedule, so let's get going. As you said, 700 paragraph document, so we don't have much time to cover that.
That's right.
To start off with, tell us what it means when you have all these countries attending it with their heads of states and their high-level delegations, of course, Iran being the host here in the capital.
Well, that's the question of the day. In fact, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, when I attended 1991 summit in Indonesia, there was a time that many countries, they were doubtful whether the NAM is relevant or not. And I think out of that session of Jakarta, many countries gradually came to the conclusion that yes, it is very much valid and it is very much essential, because this gathering, which is the second largest after the United Nations, reflects the at least the conscience of the world, particularly the people on the street. Still, it calls itself as a movement. That means it has this capacity to influence not only the government, but also the people, which are making a lot of change in different parts of the world. So with that in mind, I think the presence of such a very well attended conference in Tehran, it reflects that all those countries, they wanted to continue, they want to be united, and they want to have their own impact on international politics. Of course, I believe that one of important factor for drawing the attention of many delegates is the theme of the meeting, that is peace, sustainable peace. In the light of the global governance, I believe these ideas are very relevant ideas that are being discussed in the United Nations and also in many other platforms.
Well, tell us how NAM is going to be different, given the fact that Iran is going to be obviously leading in terms of its presidency for the next 3 years. I mean, what can Iran do to influence and strike that balance, as you mentioned in that press conference earlier, of the political and the economic situation that's pretty much entering a new phase, as you said?
Yeah. I think there is a growing tendency among many members of the NAM, particularly in the light of the economic crisis that stemmed from the United States and now engulfed many parts of the Europe. There is a feeling within the emerging economy, which many of them are members of the NAM, that they have to strengthen their position. They have to go for further consolidation of their economic relation, technical relation, and otherwise. Because after all, each country, each member of the NAM, they have to respond to the demands of their subject, their people. And I think every country, they want peace, prosperity, good job, good job opportunity. And I think Iran, one of the most important countries in the family of the NAM, located strategically in a place with 15 neighbors, with a lot of oil, gas reserve, and with the approach that Iran extends its hand to all countries who want to consolidate peace, who want to live in a world free from nuclear weapons, who want to live in a world free from terrorism and terrorist activity. So these are the issue that I believe naturally strikes a balance between the economic prosperity and an atmosphere that should be conducive to the economic development of the country, and of course the most important one is the peace and stability.
Well, when you talk about peace and stability, we've noticed the UN Security Council, how it has deviated from its charter. And I'm going to refer to an example that I need to get your reaction on also, which strikes me as perhaps showing somewhat the failure of the UN. And that was when U.S.'s ambassador, Susan Rice, on the situation in Syria, said, we're going to work outside of the UN, when they didn't get their approval and they got the veto from China and Russia to support the opposition. When you have countries, veto-wielding member countries, have such a behavior, how can NAM then seek, as it is has been stated, to reform the UN in that regard?
Yeah, I think, you know, it will have its negative and adverse impact on those personality or country that are following those policy. You remember when Mr. Bush started his own mission of invading Iraq and Afghanistan, he followed the same methodology that I don't care what the UN said, particularly the case of Iraq. And he followed the path that finally it cost a lot to the American people. And I believe Mr. Obama, in fact, his presidency, the first thing that he said, that we have to reconstruct our own image in the world community. So it's a failed policy. If the United States, or for that matter, any country wants to disregard the rest of the world, here we talk about NAM that constitute 120 countries. This is simply impossible. I mean, you cannot ignore the public opinion, particularly at this time, in this age, where each and every action and reaction of even individual are being watched by other. So we have seen the situation in Egypt, for example. A dramatic situation, the full participation of the people, and the changes that we all witnessed since last 2 months. So it showed that you cannot have a quick fix. And I believe that they made the same mistake in Syria, case of Syria. No, it is more than 18 months. It shows that policy cannot work. And you need to respect the sovereignty of the country. You need to respect the public opinion, and you need to respect peace and peace-loving countries.
Well, perhaps then this NAM summit couldn't come at a better time, given the upheavals that we're seeing in terms of revolutions and uprisings. You mentioned Syria, and in the backdrop and prior, this notion of the redrawing of the map of the Middle East seems to be analyzed, alleged or not, but we're seeing movements by these Western countries and some of the Arab countries. And of course, we mentioned Syria since it has come up. There's a contact group that Iran is going to be part of. So I need to ask you, how will that work, given the fact that there's pushback from these Western countries, namely the U.S., that doesn't want Iran to be part of the solution, the political solution?
I think, you know, to say that Iran cannot be or should not be part of the solution, this is out of ignorance. When we went to the Saudi Arabia to attend the summit of the Islamic countries there, I think the whole world, they have witnessed the great respect that the Saudi authorities, they rendered to the Iranian president. And following that, we have no special representative of King Abdullah to Tehran for the summit. So if anybody is going to close their eyes to the reality, that means they are sending wrong message even to their own people, and this cannot work. But as far as Syria is concerned, so we have stated that Iran is against bloodshed, against killing. Iran is fully respecting the wish and will of the people. But meantime, Syria is a member of the NAM, and yesterday there was in-depth discussion within the political committee of the NAM, and they came up with three paragraphs on the situation in Syria, which I think this could really open up new venture of hopes for all those who want a peaceful settlement of the situation in Syria, free from foreign intervention, free from intimidation. And I believe this is a consensus opinion of the NAM member of states, which today we have adopted it. What will happen in the ministerial meeting, or when Mr. Morsi comes to Tehran day after tomorrow, whether there will be other initiative by the NAM, that we have to cross the finger and to see how the things would move. But so far, there is a united and consensus understanding among all 120 countries that Mr. Akhtar Ibrahimi should be in a position to implement the plan of action, to implement the policy that he has announced. And I think there's only way, dialogue, talks, and reconciliation, hoping that everybody comes to sense and keep aside the culture of killing, destructions, and all those bloodsheds.
Exactly, because they could probably be a victim in the future themselves.
Naturally.
Let's move on, talk about the topic of sanctions. You mentioned sanctions. You mentioned its uselessness, to use your words. And you also mentioned that these countries shouldn't impose these sanctions, which are illegal in the first place.
Yeah.
We could mention the UN ones or the US and the European ones.
Well, in fact, it was the question of an American reporter that is Iran going to use this platform to blast all those countries who drawn sanction against Iran? I said no. I mean, we are going to stick to the principle, to the basic principle of non-aligned movement, and all the policy that non-aligned movement followed since last 50 years, and still it is valid, as I have said. Any unilateral action by any country, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it is the United States or any other power in the world, this is not acceptable by the community of nations that have gathered in the non-aligned movement. Well, one may say we disregard all these countries. We are the powerful, we are the mighty, we are the most strong people. This was the argument that Mr. Bush was using, and everybody witnessed the result of that. And the American taxpayer, they had to pay a lot of money because of that kind of adventurous policy. We say the world has changed, and it's going to transfer. And we think that everybody, every country, irrespective of the size, the geographical position, they shouldn't have a stake. They should have a part for the formation of a country, of a world, of a global system where everyone feels comfortable. Everyone feels that they can contribute to peace. That's why we said sustainable peace through joint global governance. And because there are issues that it requires all international community to come together. And I believe that this sense of a new world, a better world, it creates a lot of hope for the people. And we are very optimistic. As Iranian, we are always optimistic, and we wish all the nations of the world, particularly the people living in different parts of the world, even those who are not member of the NAM. It doesn't mean that those who are member of the NAM, we wish peace for them. No, we wish peace for everybody.
And of course, we need to mention, when we talk about occupation prior, we need to mention Israel. We need to mention the occupied territories, the way that the Palestinians are being treated. There were some statements made there. If you can expand on that briefly.
Yes, of course, there is a special committee on Palestine that was formed by the non-aligned movement. I believe tomorrow in the afternoon, that committee, the member of that committee, they are going to deliberate on the latest situation of Palestine. And I think there is a very, very strong sense among all members of that committee and also all members of the NAM that the policy of Israel is doomed to fail. This policy of killing innocent people, denying them their land, denying them their nationality, denying them the fundamental and basic humanitarian law, that cannot go further. And I think NAM, since the creation of the NAM, it had always a very strong position on that. Particularly, for example, when the apartheid regime in the South Africa was in action, NAM had a very positive and very strong position on that. So we feel that again, there would be a very strong condemnation of all the atrocities that the Zionist regime is doing against the Palestinian people. And I think there is a consensus that Palestinians should have their inalienable rights of ruling their country on their land.
The extent of the topics covered, I'm sure they're all important, very ambitious, but having throughout the next 3 years a game plan, a business plan really, to tackle it is going to be a monumental task. Is Iran adamant to pursue in each and every one of these topics to make sure that it gets results? And if you don't mind telling me,
please.
Is there any one of these topics that perhaps ranks higher than the other in terms of its importance, or cumulatively they're all important?
Well, I think with the development in Egypt, the capacity of the non-aligned movement has been multiplied. The Mubarak regime in Egypt, because of lack of support of the people of Egypt for that administration, had difficulties in moving forward. Of course, the Egyptian diplomat, they did a great job during the presidency of the Egypt. But I think, yes, we have already entered the second 50 years of the existence of the NAM. When I attended the Belgrade conference a few months ago, celebrating the first 50 years of the NAM, I could feel that there is a sense of optimism that NAM can play a very important role in promoting peace and stability and fighting intervention and unilateral policy of certain power. I feel that there will be a good chance for Iran to exercise the idea, not only to pretend that Iran is going to use NAM to solve certain problems that are problem of Iran. No, not at all, because I think the most important element is that we have to stick to those principles that all members of the NAM still they feel it is relevant. And I feel that there is a great capacity in Iran, intellectually, diplomatically, politically, to help the founder members and other members of the NAM to forge greater unity and solidarity in facing the new challenges.
And one last question. This caused a little bit of a stir when they heard about the UN Chief Ban Ki-moon visiting Iran, came from the United States and Israel. Tell us a little bit about his visit and what perhaps is planned.
Well, that is his first visit to Iran. Of course, it's pity that it should have been much earlier. But I believe whoever comes to Iran from any parts of the world, when they come to this country, they get a different picture of Iran. Because unfortunately, Iran is victim of the media animosity. And a lot of media, they are playing this dirty game of depicting a picture of Iran which is not compatible with what actually is. Of course, it will help us in some sense. When the people come here, they get a totally different picture. So we welcome very much the visit of Mr. Ban Ki-moon. He will have important meetings in Tehran, and of course his speech will be very important. He will have a speech in the first day of the summit meeting, and I think Mr. Ban Ki-moon has a very tight program. We are still working out the details of his program, but naturally he represents international community, and on that respect I feel that it's an important visit.
So much more to ask, but unfortunately we're out of time. Thank you for you again making the time to come here. We wish you lots of luck. Very ambitious.
Pleasure.
And of course, look forward to the remaining days of this summit.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Just listening to Mr. Mohammad Mehdi Akhundzadeh there. He's the NAM expert level meeting which took place. He's the deputy of this, and of course he's the deputy Iranian foreign minister for international affairs. Catch a text of this on our website, presstv.ir.